Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Don't we thank him for it? He is so good. We thank you that you gave us your word. You gave us your will. And you sealed it with your blood. And Lord, we thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, Jesus, we don't have to stumble around in darkness, that you've made everything very clear to us, Jesus. So we give you all the glory and honor and praise. And I thank you, Lord, just put your hand on your heart. Say, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I love you, Lord Jesus. And you said, if I love you, I will keep your commandments, and they'll be a joy. Praise the Lord. Y'all can sit down. Praise the Lord. He is good. Okay. First off, I want to say this. God is love. God is good. Let that sink in for a minute. Now, I don't think most of us have a very hard time believing that, do we? We believe God's good? Well, I would say sometimes there's Twinkie messages. You know, Hostess Twinkies, do they make them? I don't even know if they make them anymore. Snickers, they making them again? Well, I know there was a great famine in the land when they went out. I stocked up and bought years' supply of them. But anyway, there's Twinkie messages, and then there's Brussels sprouts. And this would probably be Brussels sprouts. Because if you eat Twinkies all the time, guess what? You get sick. You know, your body doesn't grow the way it should. And you probably say, well, you're usually somewhere on Brussels sprouts anyway. But you know what? I had a prophetic word spoken over me, and some I put on the shelf, and some confirmed things that God's already showed me. But every now and then, God will show me something that I needed to know. And at a Glow International 2 weeks ago, I think, a lady was speaking, and I went up, and her and her daughter was praying over me, and this lady had this prophetic word that there was a roadblock put up in front of you some time back, and you went around it. And then this lady was real soft-spoken and gentle, and then she like rose up and said, I'm going to have to do this. She said, you need to go back to that roadblock and kick it down and go through it. And so I had to ponder on that for a while. I had to think about that. I had to say la on that for a while. I thought, there's been a lot of roadblocks in my life since I become a Christian. And I would say most of y'all, if you've been walking with Jesus more than a couple of weeks, you've had roadblocks. But I thought of a major one or two, and I knew God was showing me. And this is I'm not trying to dredge up stuff. I'm just trying to tell you where I'm at. Is a prophetic word came forth right here after we'd moved into the new church. I don't know the date. But it was addressing worship team or worship someone on the word. That's what I felt in my spirit, but said that a Jezebel spirit was trying to be loosed in our church. And I let that go, and I think I even maybe came into agreement with it, but in my heart, I think I knew that that was not a true word of God. And so I repent right now for allowing that door to be open, because that was not a thus saith the Lord, my opinion. But anyway, I think what happens when you I hope y'all have never compromised, but I know I have at times compromised. And sometimes we'll compromise to keep the peace, we'll compromise. I think at that time I compromised to make payments on the church. I'm sorry, that's a man-pleasing spirit. That's, you know, you can make all excuses you want. You know, there's, I know four people I love very much that's got their name signed on this a deed they're responsible for. So it's like, you really, anyway, I'm sorry if I compromise there. But I take it back in the name of Jesus. And what happens is when you compromise, you start getting softer. You preach a little softer. And I'm not saying, and you know, I hear these little voices all the time. Not so much now, but at the time. Oh, that hellfire and damnation preaching. It's just, and you listen to that and you think, well, maybe I do preach just a little bit too harsh. Maybe. And then all I got to do is look back at the prophets in the Bible. All I got to do is look back to Jesus. Brood of vipers! Jesus was strong. He had great love for the lost. He had great love for the sinners. He had great love for those walking in ignorance. But he had no, I won't say he didn't have, he had loved everyone, of course. But he had no use for hypocrisy. I remember Dave Hogan, I think he said one time, he said, don't stay out of church to hide from hypocrites. He said, they'll get the hell they deserve. Don't you worry about that. Now, I'm quoting Dave Hogan. I would never say nothing so rude. I might today, though. Anyway, did you all understand what I'm saying? Because I don't want to be misunderstood. Oh, Lord, please no, don't let me be misunderstood. I don't want you to understand me. I want you to understand that what I say is truth. But I don't want you, if anybody has any misunderstanding about what I just said, you ask me now and I'll try to explain it to you. I'm not going to go into names or details because that's not necessary. It was my sin and my mistake and I repent of it. And we go back to that point, to where God wants to lead us, okay? So, is that a praise the Lord? So the title, you can put this on your pod title, right? You even got it. The pod title today is part of the full gospel. You ever heard anybody say, are you a full gospel church? Y'all ever heard that? And I used to say, well, no, we're not full gospel. We're not raising the dead. You know, there's all kinds of things we're not seeing that happen in the full gospel. But, yeah, that's our intention, to see God move every way he wants to move in us. Like I said to start out with, Jesus is love. Jesus loves everyone. Would y'all agree with that? Jesus loves the people you don't like. Jesus loves the people that persecuted you. Jesus loves Adolf Hitler. Jesus loved Charles Manson. And some of y'all don't even get that. Let me throw somebody more modern in there. Jesus loved Ayatollah Khomeini. Jesus loves everyone. Y'all agree? God is good. Would you agree with that? God is always good, even when the circumstances don't. When you start weighing everything out, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? Well, it's probably for your good and you're growing, you know? And that's hard to swallow sometimes. But if you hang on and you keep hanging on to Jesus, you're going to see it's all going to come out for his glory. It always does. It always will, Sarah. Always. Okay, God is what? God is what else? God is love and God is good. And there's one other, and I'm going to give you the counterpart. A loving Savior will one day be a severe judge. Imagine that. How could God be? You know what? I was just thinking this morning. Every one of us, the Bible says, as human beings, are created in God's image. We got a body, we got a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and we have a spirit man. And it's dead until Jesus comes in and takes over, but we're made up in a trinity, if you look at us like that. But another thing is we have God's attributes. God is a God of justice. Isn't he, Chuck? And if a family down the road here, and I'm not speaking evil, but if some evil people come in and murdered a whole family, a mom and a dad and four kids, and they just brutally murdered them for no reason whatsoever, you would rise up when you heard that and go, ugh! There needs to be something done here, right? There needs to be justice. Where do you think that came from? God is a God of justice, but God is a God of mercy. We don't know how to balance the two lots of times. Go to Hebrews, please, if you got your Bible. If not, try to get it in here next week. Man, we need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. 13. Hebrews 13, starting at verse 8. And y'all know this, I'm sure. I'd like you to read along. If you don't have it, just listen to the podcast. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. Jesus Christ is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. Romans 1, verse 16. I'm just going to read these. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. And you know what I put in there? I'm not ashamed of the full gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God to what? To salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. Now how's that? Well, he came to the Jew first. The early church was Jewish. We're the ones that got in and threw all the Jewish traditions out. So the early church was predominantly Jewish. And then God grafted us in. Say, praise God, I am grafted into the vine. You grafted me in, God. I'm so thankful that you grafted me in, Jesus. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's say that together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. One more time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God was, Jesus was back when Genesis happened, right? Jesus was there when the earth was created, right? It said, behold, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Jesus was there when it all happened. He was the Word, the spoken Word of God, and the power of the spoken Word created everything. And so Jesus was the same Jesus when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden for sinning. Jesus was the same Jesus if you look at how many of y'all know that I really don't think it's proper to call it the Old Testament, because it's like the church has somehow put a dividing line. This is the Old Testament. and this is the New Testament. Now, everything this way was in the past, and everything this way is now and in the future. I mean, I know, I don't really think we believe that, but we think this God of wrath and judgment and justice no longer, when Jesus came and died on the cross, all that changed. And Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. What do you think, Deb? But he gave us a way to do it. See, it was impossible to please a righteous God. All we could do before is just offer blood sacrifices with animals. And it covered over sin, but it never, ever forgave sin, and it never, ever rarely changed human nature, except maybe in the prophets, and there were certain people. But how come the church is glad to sing psalms and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. How is it that we're able to claim that out of the Old Testament, but then when judgment is mentioned, it's like, oh no, God would never do that. Now, you can't have it both ways. I'm just trying to get you thinking, okay? You don't have to agree with me, but please agree with what the Word of God says, okay? Go to Hosea. I don't bother. It'll take too long. Hosea 4, verse 6. My people, and I know y'all know a lot of these, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will what? Reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on iniquity. And that's sin, but that's like God draws a line in the sand and says, don't cross it, and you jump back and forth and laugh. That's iniquity. It shall be like people, like a priest. So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. Harlotry, wine, and new wine enslave the heart. And harlotry, by the way, is like sexual relations outside of marriage between a man and a woman. It's drunkenness. Wine is drunkenness, drugs, pharmakeia, pot. You can put anything in there that alters your mind, okay? And then go to Luke 17. I'm going to let y'all go there. Verse 20. When he was asked, this is Jesus, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Then he said to the disciples, the days will come, when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow after them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part of heaven to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken and the other left. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other will be left. So Jesus compares his return. The days would be like the days of Noah, and the days would be like the days of Lot. In the days of Noah, the thing that I read there, we're not going to go over there, but the thing that really impressed me the most is that all their thoughts were evil and continually evil. Everything, every thought that came into their mind was evil. And they spent most of their time devising new ways to do evil. And it was a generation that most likely, if you were to study, this might be controversial, but you can study it. There was Nephilim in those days. There were giants on the earth. And they were the product of demonic demons having sexual relations with women. And a lot of people think, scholars think, that what happened was Noah and his family were the only pure human beings on the planet. Everybody else had been polluted by demonic blood and demonic spirits. So the only salvation, you say, well, why didn't he spare anybody? Everybody had a chance to come into that ark. I believe if they'd come to Noah and listened to him, he preached for how long? He preached for 120 years. And he had zero converts. So we get upset when we don't get to lead somebody to the Lord every day. 120 years. And I believe if they had come and accepted the message, I believe God would have cleansed them of them demons. I believe they would have been made back to what God intended us to be. I could go into some weird stuff. No, I won't do that. And he compares it to the days of Lot. And the thing significant about the days of Lot was total depravity. God sent two angels. Of course, God was all, don't you think God already knew what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah? But he needed witnesses. He always does everything fairly. He always does everything justice. So you need witness for justice, right? So he sent these two angels in. I want you to go there and see what I have heard is true. And as soon as they get into town, they say, well, we're going to bed down in the town square for the night. And Lot sees them, and evidently he has enough of God in him to recognize these aren't just normal visitors. I think he must have known they were angels of God. And he said, please, 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 whatever you do, don't spend the night in the town square. I don't think it was a town square. It was the... Anyway, don't spend the night there. Oh, no, we'll be okay. No, come home with me. So they came home with Lot, and I'm sure he fed them a good meal, and it was getting about bedtime, and they heard this commotion outside. And they soon there was banging at the door. And Lot opened the door and said, "What do you want?" And I'm paraphrasing all this. Don't get on me if I don't get it exactly right, but "What do you want?" They said, "Send out those men that have come into your house that we may have sex with them." Now, these are men crying out for these men. And Lot says, "Oh, no, please, these men are under my protection. Don't do such a wicked thing. Here," now see, this is how depraved this society was. "Here, take my virgin daughters and do what you see fit to do with them, but don't harm these innocent men." You know what they said? "Who are you to tell us what's right and wrong? Who are you to tell us what's natural and unnatural? Give us these men." And they started rushing the house, and the angels went blind. And that, of course, they took off like rats. No, they're still banging at the door trying to feel around so they can get in. Even after judgment, they're still bent on doing this perverse thing. God is offended by that. And so the angel said, "Look, we're going to make it real simple. Get you a change of clothes, get you some bread, don't get anything, just get out of here and head for the mountains." And he told him how far to go. And Lot said, "I can't make it that far. I think I could make it across the planet. I can't make it that far. Let me stop in this little town called Zoar." "Okay, but get out of here, and whatever you do, don't look back." And you know what? It just occurred to me, when I came to Jesus, I don't know about your experience, but when I came to Jesus, he told me to get out of sin. Now, he didn't do it all at once, man. This is not condemnation. You probably still got some stuff you need to get free of. So do I. But he told me, as he showed me, piece by piece, step by step, "I want you to get off drugs." Okay. We'll do that. "I want you to get rid of this pornography." Okay, God, we'll do that. "I want you to get rid of this music you listen to." I mean, that all was just over a process, you know? And there's many things I could tell you. But you know what? When I did these things and when I came to Jesus, he pretty much told me, "Son, don't look back." And you know what the problem is? Is sometimes when life gets hard, when we start getting tested and we start getting tried, we want to go back to a comfortable place where we get a little ease from the pain. You know, we can sit down in front of the TV and watch something. It just kind of like chills us out, or a beer or a glass of wine just kind of chills us out. And when we know that he said, "Don't look back." Because he knows if we look back, see, our eyes see things, our mind's eye sees things, and then we speak it, and then we do it, and then it's like we've opened the floodgates. Now, this isn't to put fear on you, but I'm sure it's happened to some of y'all. It's happened to me before, and I've had to repent. And it's like, you know, God says, "No, you're no longer going to heaven." No, he don't say that, but he's saying, "Man, your destiny's going to be corrupted. You can't get where I want you to go like this." See, I had to repent to you this morning. That's nothing big on me, but he said, "You must repent of this because a prophet told you this, and if you believe that's a true word from God, you better act on it." Hello, how many of y'all have got prophetic words spoke over you? And you're like, okay, I'm just waiting for it to happen. Yeah. La, 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 la. It's going to happen someday. No, it won't if you don't do nothing about it. It won't happen unless you do something about it. But how do I get there? Albert was saying, spend time with God in the secret place. He'll show you how to get where he wants you to go. He'll tell you what you need to do. This is good news, guys. This is good gospel news. This ain't bad news. We don't have to be in the fireball. And if you read where it says fire and brimstone, I looked it up. You know where the other places it's mentioned? It's mentioned in Revelation. That's the place where Satan and his demons and all the people that choose to follow him will spend eternity. So I got this picture of God just scooping up a small little handful of fire and brimstone, and he smoked this place, man. I mean, it was totally, completely consumed. Not one living thing was left in Sodom. And you go, your carnal mind will get in there, and you go, well, that's kind of mean, turning Lot's wife into a pillar of salt, which isn't a salt block, a cow licks on. It's asphalt. It's blah, tar and asphalt. So, why did she get smoked? Was it because she saw the light flashing and she just all of a sudden lost control and want to look back to see the nuclear holocaust or whatever's going on? No, she looked back fondly because there was some things there in Sodom that she liked. There was probably stores with pretty stuff. She had a lot of stuff. She had a home. And she thought, whoa, wouldn't it be better? Like the children of Israel, when they got out in the middle of the wilderness, they said, man, we had it even better in Egypt. Can you imagine? You had to make bricks without straw. You're having to labor 12, 14 hours a day. You're getting beat with a whip when you don't do enough every day. And God has released us and set us free. Man, things were even better back in Egypt. Well, God just... So God is still a God of judgment. And God, and the thing that spared, God's mercy spared Lot and his family. And God's mercy spared Noah and his family. And he made an ark. And God's mercy is going to spare the last day's remnant. Whether Jesus comes back or Danny, we die and get buried before it happens, I don't know. But I'm going to get to go to glory because of his mercy. I'm not going to get to go to glory because of my good works, because I obeyed his commandments and I dotted all. I'm not telling you that. It's not a works technology, but if you love Jesus, you're going to follow him, you know, the best you can. And some of us are only in kindergarten, but you know, if you make it to the first grade next year, praise the Lord, we've done well. So, go to Jeremiah, or let me just read it. Jeremiah 8:4. And the title of this is The Peril of False Teaching. Moreover, you will say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why has this people slidden back? Jerusalem in a perpetual backsliding. They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I listened and heard, but they do not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course, as the horse rushes into the battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. How can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed of telling the truth. they are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord, so what wisdom do they have? Therefore, I will give their wives to others and their fields to those who will inherit them, because from the least even to the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet to the priest, everyone deals falsely, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly. And they say, peace, peace, where there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall in the time of their punishment. They shall be cast down, says the Lord. I will surely consume them, says the Lord. No grapes shall be on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things I have given them shall pass away. I encourage you to read the rest of that through about 19. And the last thing there says, listen, the voice, the cry of the daughter of my people from a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their carved images, with foreign idols? So it said even the priests and the prophets were, they mingled the word of God with lies and heresy, and they had worshipped idols, and they had worshipped sex, and that is the huge thing that has come over this country, you know. Perversion and hiding in a fantasy world of drugs and and being entertained by the Word of God that never has any power. Lord Jesus, I thank you that y'all agree with me. All this word that goes out, I pray you would open doors for people to hear that need to hear, and I pray you'll close doors for people that don't need to hear, Jesus. And I thank you for protection over Faith Harvest. I thank you for your covering, but I thank you for grace to stand in the presence of evil. I thank you for grace to tell the truth when everyone believes the lie. I thank you for grace to be as bold as lions, Jesus. Gird yourself up in us, Holy Spirit of truth, mouth of God, speak through us, Lord. Speak through us, Jesus. Y'all ever... I know you have, because a huge one happened on Christmas Day not too long ago, but it was called a tsunami. Have y'all ever seen any footage of that? It's just scary. This thing just kept coming and coming and coming and coming and coming, and it just destroyed everything in its path. Well, there's been an earthquake that happened many years ago, but it's just now starting to carry that wave, and that wave is coming over America right now. And the first wave was abortion. And that Roe versus Wade, I couldn't tell you it happened in the late 60s, early 70s. Was it 73? And you know what? God forgives that sin, too. It's no worse than me telling a lie. God forgives. And I just want you to know, if I'm ever speaking to anyone that's committed that sin, it's not something that God can't free us and deliver us from. He wants to. He's got grace to do that. So praise the Lord for that. But that sin, what it did is it put innocent blood on this land. And it I'm sure, I believe, I like to liken it to when Pharaoh said, kill all the babies up to 2 years old. I want you to kill them because there's a deliverer coming. So let's wipe out the little ones. And then I liken it to when Jesus went to Egypt. He escaped. Herod said, I want you to kill all the babies 2 years old and down because there was a deliverer coming and his name was Jesus. And the enemy has always tried to stop the deliverer. Of course, we know he can't, but the devil always tries to take the youngest, the ones with destiny. There's no telling what kind of destinies that have been removed from this nation. I think it's approaching 60 million now. And you think of 60 million destinies, wouldn't there have been some in there that would have done some great things? I mean, now, if it happened in 83, 93, 2003, we're talking 40-year-old kids now that aren't here no more, that would be ruling the nation possibly the president, you know. So it's a great destiny. And the reason I'm saying this is Presbyterian Church USA have been going along with pro-choice. I call it pro-abortion. You can call it what you like, but they've been, and they put in, there wasn't even for the life of the mother or anything like that. It was just, hey, you got a choice. You got a choice. And so they did that back years ago. And now, just the other day I saw at their convention, now they have told their pastors, if you're in a state that allows same-sex marriages, you're to perform them. I don't know what you think about that. But you know what? I don't really care what you think about it. I want to know what God thinks about it. And I'm not slamming Presbyterian Church USA. I'm sure there's dozens that are going to come in the wake of that. I'm sure, and if you know anything about Presbyterian Church USA, I'm pretty sure their national headquarters are in Louisville, Kentucky, aren't they? Isn't that where their main office is? Isn't that true? You know what? If the wrong people hear that, we're probably going to get some flack, but that's just okay. You know what? Back about the time that the Presbyterian, and I'm just recalling this to my memory, about the time they moved into Louisville, Kentucky, something else happened in Louisville, Kentucky. They mounted purple lights on the 2nd Street Bridge, which is like, it's God's color of royalty, but it's like the gay pride color besides the rainbow. So I wonder if there was any correlation between that and what was to come. Because if you ever know anything about Louisville, Kentucky, it has a huge, huge gay community. Very influential. Very well connected in government. So, why I'm saying all this is, you're going to be faced with a choice. You're going to be faced with a choice very, very soon. Are you going to keep your mouth shut when you're engaged? Are you going to fall under the pressure that people are calling you intolerant and bashers and haters? Are you going to fall under that accusation? Are you going to stand for the truth? You know, the sin of abortion destroys youth and destroys destiny. the sin of same-sex marriage and homosexuality, well, there can be no procreation from a homosexual union. Would y'all agree? Is it possible? It's not possible. So God said his first great commandment to Adam and Eve was, be fruitful and multiply. And look, you know, guys, I pray that God will send people into this church that can be freed from this. Praise the Lord. Just like I would pray that he would send prostitutes in the church to be free and drug addicts to be free. And I'm not picking out one thing or another, but to make this like an anthem, and the church is unkind if they don't say that it's okay. I mean, what you're doing basically, Opal, if you're telling somebody that's okay, and if the Word of God says no, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, and it does say that, if that's the truth, you're pretty much stamping their ticket to hell. And I mean, someday you'll stand, it says every word, every idle word that you speak, you will give account of someday in judgment. So I don't want to be held accountable for somebody that says, hey, Mark Stephen Avery, you had a chance to tell me about that and you never opened your mouth. You had a chance to tell me about Jesus and you never opened your mouth. You had a chance to tell me that the way I was living was wrong and you never opened your mouth. Let's stand up. Let's pray. Okay, now I've downloaded. And I will tell you that I believe that God is going to send a movement of God, a revival wave over this country, and a third great awakening like we have never, ever experienced. But it's not going to wait. It's the reprobate church is not even going to notice the water is stirring. They're going to say that's heresy, that's not real, that's not a move of God, that's this, that's that. But God will transform this nation. But we can't be afraid. We can't be afraid of what other people think, you know. We can't be afraid of what other people say. The good news about everything I've told you is, yes, America is ripe for judgment. But the good news is every revival and every move of God happened after an apostasy. England was the most apostate nation on the planet, and God sent a mighty revival there with Wesley's. You know, John Wesley and Charles Wesley, his brother, sent a mighty wave of revival. Of course, we know the Methodist Church has gone a long ways from her roots. So we've probably went a long way from our roots too, you know. But praise God, we've still got roots. Praise God, there's still... There's good soil. There's the Word of God to give us truth and life. So, Lord Jesus, we pray right now. Can y'all just agree with me? We pray right now, God, for everyone caught up. Everyone caught up in sin, God. Everyone, God, caught up in sexual sin especially, God. We pray, Jesus, that you would create a right spirit, that you would send a spirit of conviction, God. Jesus, even those in the church, God, you send a spirit of conviction, God. Give space for mercy, God. Give space for mercy, God. And Lord, we pray right now, Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name for the Presbyterian Church USA, Jesus. You would give them space to repent, God. That, God, you would raise up an Elijah. you would raise up a voice crying out in the wilderness, God, that will restore them, God, to their path, Jesus. I pray you send a wind of repentance and revival over Faith Harvest right now, that, God, you would restore us to the high calling you have given us, Jesus. And, Lord, give us strength. Give us strength, God. Give us strength. Let's just pray in the Spirit for a minute. Because I feel like that suffocating Jezebel spirit would like to strangle us right now. I thank you, Jesus. Y'all just pray and we agree in prayer, God. I thank you, Jesus, that no weapon formed against me, us, and Faith Harvest Assembly in Greenville, Indiana will prosper. I thank you, God, that no weapon formed against the churches in the Highway 150 corridor will prosper, Jesus. I thank you, come on, I thank you, Lord, that what the enemy meant for evil, what Satan meant for evil, that you're already turning it around and using it for your glory, God. I thank you right now that this message goes out, Jesus. I thank you, God, for people that are bound and lost and they think there's no hope because they told they were born like this, God, they will see light and know that, no, we were born in the image of God. We were born to do good works. We were born to have a destiny and be overcomers. Jesus, I pray overcoming spirit upon everyone in this house right now. I pray supernatural boldness on everyone in this house right now. I pray, God, that old things are passed away and everything's become new, Jesus. I thank you our words and our thoughts will be salt and they will be light, Lord. Jesus, you promised, God, that we are warriors, we are salt, and we are light. So, God, we receive that mantle. We receive that mantle of repentance. We receive that mantle of warriors. We receive that evangelist mantle. We receive that prophetic manual, God. We receive that healing mantle that you have placed upon us, Jesus. Your kingdom come. Can y'all say that? Your kingdom come, Lord Jesus. Your will be done, Lord Jesus, right here, right now, just like it is in heaven. And I mean, you point to yourself. Praise the Lord for the works and the Spirit of God operating in me. Thank you, Lord, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're away from the Lord, if you know he's got better things for you, if you know he's got a different path for you than you're on right now, would you please come up to this altar and just kneel down? Nobody's going to hassle you. Nobody's going to bother you. Just come up here and confess to the Lord, and he will heal you. He will take away your sins. He will pour his blood out upon you. Just do it right now. Don't run from his word. Don't run from his calling. He's calling you right now. Come, come, come in Jesus' name right now. Put on some music, Dan, right now. Come, come, come. Come to the altar of the Lord. Come to the altar of the Lord. Come to the altar of the Lord and repent. He'll restore you. He'll renew you. He'll put your feet on the solid rock. Jesus. Has anybody been diagnosed with bronchitis? Anybody? If you have, come up here and get prayer, because I believe God wants to heal you. I know he wants to heal you. Yes.
A few weeks back, I'd given a word in here. I couldn't understand why I was talking about it. It was something I was going through at the time about how do we react to things. And I don't know if it ever came across right, because sometimes I get so caught up in feelings that sometimes I don't come across right. And to this morning in worship, God told me to share the testimony of what God's doing and how I've reacted. And when you got up there about a word that was given to you and how you reacted, and there's roadblocks in our way of getting where we're going. And that's what God was showing me, that there's roadblocks in my way of getting where God was taking me because of my reactions to things, whether it was people's words. And Mike had preached one week on the same thing, if anybody caught it, about cleaning out your garden and going through and really paying attention to how you react to things. Because sometimes we do things as we've done them so long, we don't even pay attention anymore because it's so natural, because we've done it so much. And so God has really caused some things to be, I wouldn't say he caused them to be havoc, but he put things in my life and positioned them for me to pay attention. And sometimes he'll put some very bad things in your path to make you pay attention. Because if you don't pay attention, he's going to make you pay attention. So I was having a whole lot of trouble at work, a whole lot of trouble, just chaotic things. And I sat back one day and God said, I want you to go back and I want you to think back to things that has happened to you, and I want you to look at how you reacted to them and what the consequences of your reaction was. And I was like, no, not me. I haven't done this. But we do. We react to things and we don't realize we react that way. And there were some things going on at work, and I prayed about them for a while. They didn't seem to change a whole lot. So guess what? I swept them under the carpet hoping they'd go away, and they didn't. They just blew up even more. And the other night, I told Chuck, I've had enough. I don't even want to go to work anymore. Didn't want to face all this. I just want it to go away. And Chuck said, Melissa, the only way you can face it, you have to face it, and you've got to conquer it. So I had Chuck pray with me. And he had forgot when I left the house, but he called me on the phone. He said, Melissa, we forgot to pray. He said, so stop right now. We're going to pray. And I said, okay. So we prayed. And lo and behold, when I got to work, things turned around. But it was all in my action of how I react to things. And whether it be people who's left out of our lives, we don't understand why they left. God removes people sometimes because we don't need them in our lives. Not that we don't like them and not that they're wrong, but they're wrong for us. And then he moves new people in. But guess what? If you're always building up walls when people hurt you and you tend to put up this wall without realizing you're doing it and saying, I'm not going to be hurt no more. So I'm going to build this wall up and nobody's going to get in here no more to hurt me. But what we're doing is we're hurting us. And if we don't let them in, then whatever God's trying to do in the church, in our homes, there's a roadblock. Because like Pastor Mark said, whatever was said or done in the church before, if he puts up this wall to not to be hurt again like that, then God sends new people. He's not going to know that God sent the new people because he's got a roadblock up here. So we got to know when these roadblocks are being put up, and we got to start paying attention. You can't just sweep things under the rug anymore. Our thoughts can't be the same. We've went over this before of God saying our thoughts can't be the same of our old thoughts because there's new ones now. And so we got to be really aware. And when I've really sat down and when something happens now, I stop and I think, okay, how am I going to react to this? Am I going to blow up? Going to get mad? Sweep it under the carpet? Or am I going to face it? And then when we start facing things, I've noticed a bunch of different things changing in our life because of the way I react to it, whether it be my kids, home, church, whatever it is. And I just have to realize everybody is not going to like you, and everybody's not going to be your friend. But you got to learn that you got to stand up and not let people's words hurt you. Because when God's coming back for a church without mixture, and that's what Mike was preaching, a church without mixture. You can't live in the world and in God. So you got to change your thoughts. You got to change the way you react. Because when people look at you and when they come in this building, they're going to know that you're different by the way you react to stuff. At work, You want to know why you don't have no change? Look at how you react to it. It's you. It's not them. It's you. So we have to learn to react and do and pay attention. And we can't always be hurt and wounded by what people say, because you know what? When people start coming in here and God sends them in here, we got to be strong and we got to be steady and stand rooted, because there's going to be all kinds of stuff that's going to be said. You think you're going to come in here, cast out demons, and they ain't nobody out there going to say something? And when you walk out that door, you better be able to take those darts, because you got to walk back in here again with these same people coming in. But if you're wounded, how are you going to help them? And that's what God is showing me. We got to start standing up, and he said it. You got to be a Christian. You got to make a decision. What are you going to do? You going to stand, or are you going to just fall back with everybody else? And so we got to stand, and that's what God's been showing me. Melissa, stand up. Be who I've called you to be. Stop being a baby. And that's what he told me. Stop being a baby. Because people are going to talk about you, and people are going to wound you. People are going to walk in and out of your life, but you've got to know how to react to it. That way, when God sends all these people here, you're going to know how to react to them. You won't be floored and the enemy come in and attack you from the back, because you're going to know how to stand.
Amen. So I had this one scripture I was going to read to you, but I think I know it. It says, the harvest is past, the summer is over, and we are not saved. The cool thing is we're right here at the beginning of summer. And I believe we're going to see a great, great harvest this year. And really, all this was not for y'all this morning, except to gird you up in what you already know, and to let you know it's not wrong to take a stand. In fact, it's wrong to not take a stand. So y'all stand up again. I want to bless you. And if anybody needs prayer for anything, and I don't know if you even know it's bronchitis, but it's this deep cough. It's like, you know, no, really. And if that's you, please come up and get prayer. You may not even know what it is, but you don't have to claim that. We'll just get rid of it in Jesus' name. But Lord God, bless these saints of God. They are blessed, and they're a blessing. And I ask you to bless them going out and bless them coming in. Bless them with 10,000-fold prosperity on everything they give into your kingdom, Jesus. Multiply it, multiply it, multiply it. And Lord, bless them to be a blessing. Bless them, God, with a bold mouth to speak the witness of Jesus. Bless them, God, to have favor, that everything they touch will prosper, Jesus. Bless them with a good spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. And Lord, just go before them in everything they do. Give them confidence and faith and hope and love. All the fruits of the Spirit manifesting daily. And God, all the gifts of the Spirit as needed, God, in Jesus' name. We praise you, Lord. We praise you for your goodness. Like I say, anybody that needs prayer, please come up here and receive.